Hello, beautiful people. How are you all? How are you feeling? I'm ready to spill some astro tea today. I am feeling so much better than May the 1st. How was May the 1st for you? Cosmic fuckery, frustrations, delays, computers shitting themselves, astrology software not working. Oh, it was a fun time. hilariously, every Mercury retrograde can show up so differently, and that's why these very broad statements around Mercury retrograde will be this, will be that, will be this, doesn't necessarily mean it will be or it can be. It can be a myriad of different things. Mercury is the trickster. Remember, he is the trickster. When I think of Quicksilver, which I think is Mercury, I think of the Terminator 2, the bad guy that keeps like morphing into everything, and then he like runs after the car and he becomes metal and stuff like that. Like Mercury, the psychopomp, is a magician. Like he is literally a magician. And lo and behold, like when I did my Mercury retrograde spread, I did pull some pretty hectic cards, to be honest. I only showed one of them. I did some tarot. I'm working really closely with tarot at the moment, and I pulled a lot of swords, so it was very interesting. But it makes sense because this Mercury retrograde hits my Mars quite a lot. So, and we're in this lunar eclipse portal, which is both eclipses are ruled by Mars. And so I pulled the magician card as the me card. So I thought that that was so pertinent because Mercury is the magician and he will show up in different ways. Is he morphing into something that maybe is destructive? Is he magically transforming something? What sort of messages is he delivering at the moment? And this is the thing, what happened on May the 1st was that Pluto was very, like, still, pretty much still. And what happens is when a planet is slowing down to retrograde, that station can actually be very intense and possibly more intense than the retrograde itself. Because, it's just that real. Sometimes I feel this when I'm in a tunnel. I don't know about you, but like, it feels like up ahead, they've all come to a stop, and I start to slow down because all of a sudden my sense of motion and movement changes. It's like, are they stationary or am I moving? And it's very much around what a retrograde planet is. Ultimately, a planet in the sky isn't moving backwards. When a retrograde planet comes, it's close to the Earth. And so we're feeling the effects of it, right? So it's an interesting analogy to look at is that the stationing planet can be very tetchy. And now I'm not even talking Mercury here. I'm talking, and yes, I am talking all retrograde movements here when any planet stations retrograde or stations direct for that matter. There can be this edge, this tetchiness, because it's already started to slow right down. Yeah, and Pluto only moved into 0 degrees of Aquarius for the first time in, this big 250-year transit in March, and he's just stayed on 0 degrees. So he's been moving exquisitely slow. And then that May the 1st, he was so stationing that it wasn't, like that it was hectic, and couple that in with Mercury retrograde about to have his Kazemi, which is meaning in the heart of the sun, there was a lot of stuff. So I did a post again, if you follow me on Facebook or Instagram, I did a big Pluto stationing sort of post about this Pluto retrograde. This Pluto retrograde is a real purging, shadow flushing. Like it feels like a real karmic upgrade, and we've got to descend before we can ascend, and that's something that I think, of course, most people miss. They miss the mark on that because everyone's so caught up in ascension and moving beyond the human. But it's actually the human and working with the earth and base star chakras. Saying this as I'm drinking cacao and holding an incredible fucking wild piece of pyrite. I am just going to sip my cacao now. So enjoy in your ears. I've been having these every now and again. on my parasite cleanse. They're made on coconut milk, and but not coconut UHT milk, actually coconut milk that you cook curries with. So much richer and cleaner are the coconut energy. And you know, we think that these boxed milks, almond, coconut, macadamia, you know, oat, oh, which is worse than having a can of Coke, like that they're better for you, but they're filled with so much stuff, often seed oils. Anyway, I'm not going to jump on that bandwagon, but after nearly 4 weeks of none of that sort of stuff, I can tell you that, you know, your body starts to heal, darlings. Like it literally starts to heal from the toxicity of not only packaged stuff, you know, which might be a biscuit or, you know, whatever, but just even thinking that you're doing the right thing, like by having, you know, different products that you think are healthier or, you know, these sorts of things. But yeah, not ingesting any of that for nearly 4 weeks is being quite exquisite, actually. And my body is healing from inflammation, my gut's healing, you know, I'm on gelatin every day, and yeah, you know, this is full of collagen, and yeah, it's pretty amazing what happens. Anyway, you know, Pluto. So Pluto stationing retrograde, he's an outer planet, he's a transpersonal planet. And whilst, yes, you know, when someone wakes up and goes, "I feel Pluto retrograding," it's not about that, and it's a bit of a wanky sort of thing. Ultimately, what we're doing is we're feeling a really karmic shift. You know, it's in our psyche, and it's often not the moment that Pluto retrogrades, but the day before. That's when energetically you can really feel some treachery. Okay, you know, this is where, you know, this is Pluto's terrain here. We are going into the underworld, the descension before the ascension, and ascension can only come when we've descended. And that's the interesting thing that, again, you know, so many people want to bypass. And as you all know or may have heard me speak of before, I don't call it spiritual bypassing. To me, that's an easy out. Being spiritual is simple. It's human bypassing, and to me, that's the descending. That's the really getting into the anchor and the heart of our human body, and not trying to escape it by ascending and light language every 5.5 milliseconds, and la 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 la. And I can breathe and just live on air, and I'm an aeritharian, and I don't even need to eat, and I'm a this, and ah la 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 la. I mean, come on, we're fucking human, and to experience enlightenment, we have to descend and activate the human codes. We have to activate us being here on the earth and being able to channel earth frequency, her grids, to actually connect to the cosmic grids. Because yeah, I see people that are very connected cosmically. You know, they can deliver some beautiful things every now and again, but usually their lives are an absolute mess. Because they've done it ass about. You know, they've gone and decided that they want to ascend and only work with the third eye and crown chakras. And that gives what I believe is mental instability, to be completely honest. And I wrote about this in my book, Everyday Enlightenment, Magic in the Mundane, which you can purchase on Amazon. Let me know how that process goes. I mean, I'm terrible at marketing myself. And I forget about my book very often. But let me know how the process goes. I don't actually even know how much it is, and if it's too expensive, I'll change it. Like I said, I don't know. It was released. It's just been in my peripheral. But I did a whole chapter really much around grounding, and you know, and people thinking that being grounded is putting your feet on the ground, and being grounded is taking some breaths and doing breath work, these very rigid, structured ways of being grounded. But actually, you know, I specify in the book that groundedness actually is like mental stability. So, you know, once we start using that in the spiritual industry, then we get a whole lot of mental instability that is being shown. Doesn't matter if you're putting your feet on the earth, that, you know, yes, that is earthing, that is connecting to the earth, and with every footstep, yes, we are praying to her. That is why the descension and activating the earth grids and drinking her tinctures and using her as our mediciner, then when that foundation is strong, the cosmic attunement that you receive, whew, like next level. So, you know, and I did it that way. You know, my husband calls me the iceberg, you know, like I've got everything. My foundation is, you know, probably too rich. Sorry, I'm going to be drinking this cacao the entire time. It's probably too deep into Mama Earth, but hello, I'm a, you know, I am, you know, a stellium in Taurus, which is the Earth, but the stellium in Libra gives me the celestial, and that's the difference, and that's the real difference with, you know, being a heavy Venusian with both a Libra and a Taurus stellium, you know, and you know, just being that psychopomp, being able to have my foot in both worlds. And what I've noticed, because my 20s were much more around, you know, I was, you know, raising children and still doing all of this work, but the groundwork and the anchoring had to be done. So while everyone was sort of fluffing about and sort of being the starving artist and denouncing anything that was human in my 20s, I was the opposite. And you know, again, I seem to always be the minority, even within a group that, you know, can tend to be something that I'm interested in. And this is where I notice. That is where the influx of confusion can come from when teachers are just trying to teach, you know, from this very cosmic celestial sense. And that's not even a astrology. That's just, you know, that I'm not even talking about astrology here. I'm just talking about what they're trying to do is take people out of their bodies. And when charlatans do that, they have control. But when you are in your body and your soul and your spirit and all of your auric fields are pulled within your center and anchored into the Earth Mother, grounded into her frequency, and you are aligned to her matrix, let me tell you, like, I have had some wild experiences where my whole physical being has become the flower of life. You know, just go and watch the movie Lucy, which I've probably banged on about before, with Scarlett Johansson. Yes, it's a Hollywood movie, but you know, we know that there's astrologers and we know that there's aliens working in Hollywood who know more than they let on. And we see this in particular movies, obviously not the whole industry, it's quite disgusting, we know that, but there are particular movies that you're like, okay, you know about time travel, you know about quantum reality, you know about parallel universes, you know, all the stuff that I've been living for over 20 years, and then I see a movie and I'm like, come on, like, you know, this is good. Who did this? You know, so it's a great movie, but you know, Lucy, I love it. I've watched it a gazillion times. I went to the cinemas as soon as it came out. That was on my eldest daughter's 16th birthday. She's 25 this year, so it was a long time ago. And I was so moved, I could barely speak. It was just sort of like, oh, this is how I live. This is the frequency I live in. And yeah, like when you watch the end of it, you're like, yeah, but you're not doing that. No, I'm not, but I have in a very different way. So the thing is that being a human, and I don't share this stuff very often. Hello, I'm here talking on my podcast, sharing this stuff, but, and it might be a bit too much for you, and that's cool. Tap out, you know, enjoy. I'm going to get to the astrology. This is a part of the astrology, to be honest. This is the foundation of actually what's going on in the ethers of what's actually being unpacked and unfolding. At the moment, is this sense of the descension and coming back to the earth and anchoring in to her frequency to be able to then, it's like, you know, it's sort of like if you know, imagine like a Merkabah above you and actually like breathing that in, but actually doing it. You know, we a lot of people do it, but they're not doing it. I'm talking about the merging of the cosmic to the earth and working with both of those. And if you have, and if you're doing a lot of this deep work and you have a stellium in Taurus and Libra, you know, again, you're working with the earth plane and the celestial plane. It's just like the morning star of Venus and the earth star, I mean the evening star of Venus. One is more sort of Uranian and one is more celestial. One is Lucifer, the morning star. It's more yang. You know, I'd love to talk about the Venus stars more, but you know, to have that foot in both worlds takes mental stability to start with, but it also takes that anchoring in first. So with everything that's going on, I mean, I literally said to my facialist today, I'm like, most people are getting ripped a new asshole, and we're all going through it in some way. And for me, I wrote my post on Tiani Talks, obviously on Instagram. And my Facebook page on May the 2nd, because May the 1st was a shit show. That Mercury Kazemi was just about to hit my Mars. So I was reactive as fuck, baby. I had some signing up issues with my very new project, which I'll talk about later. not signing up issues, but just some syncing issues and some weird things that were going on that are going to happen with a new product, all the things. But I go into meltdown because I don't understand. It was all on my Mars. Pluto was stationing retrograde on the first. And it is like this tense ball of reactivity, but it might not have been for you. Again, it's different for everyone depending on what's going on. Now, Pluto at 0 degrees is, you know, this nodal square is tightening and tightening and tightening. Pluto stays at 0 degrees right up until June before he moves back and dips back into this 29, 28 degrees of Capricorn, right? And again, we're looking at people with, you know, for charts that are being really activated and amplified, we're looking at 0, 1, 2, 3. You know, you can give a bit of a, you know, from the first 5 degrees maybe of fixed signs. So Taurus, Scorpio, Leo and Aquarius, if you've got any planets from 0 to 5 degrees, Pluto's been at 0 degrees. So it's a strong activation. Plus the nodes are at around 4 or 5 degrees at the moment. So we've got Pluto squaring the nodes. But then if you've got stuff there, the nodes are actually making hard aspects to those planets. And if you're like me and you're born in the Leo North Node and Aquarius South Node generation with the early degree nodes, which I'm May 81. So if you're like May 81, June 81, maybe even July 81, we're going through our nodal square. It's a big time. Okay. It's a big time of push, release, force, flow, crossroads. And then, you know, couple that with Pluto stationing, Mercury retrograde, which for me personally was on my Mars. Hello, Mars, anger, reactivity. Just, you know, it just makes sense, right? Like you just can't make this shit up. I played straight into the, it's like play me a fucking violin. You know, I'm a big sook. I played straight into its arms and I couldn't help myself. I watched it. I'm like, ah, Mercury's on my fucking Mars. Oh my God, this isn't happening. And you know, every single thing happened. My computer broke, my computer completely. I had to reschedule clients. It was just my astrology app wasn't working. My program, like, honestly, it was the most. And you know what? In my heart, I was like, as soon as the Mercury Kazemi happens, everything will be okay. And it was. My computer started working. Everything started syncing up. Everything with my new project started to go a little bit more flowingly because I had some better things in place. And the astrology app just got fixed. So it's just hilarious. And the Mercury Kazemi is when, so it's what's called his inferior conjunction where Mercury is retrograde. It's halfway through his retrograde and he meets the sun, signaling maybe some clarity, signaling a message, signaling some sort of shift within the Mercury retrograde stratosphere, right? So this is what I'm saying. We've got Mercury, the trickster, Pluto stationing, which can be really edgy. You know, we're flushing out old karmic debris. You know, think of it as a real flush out. Like if you were just to like put a friggin' hose in your mouth, you know, or an energetic siphon. You know, we do have to take the hand of Hades and walk the underworld. And for some of us, that's quite natural. That's in our charts. Hello to eighth houses, Scorpio moons, Scorpio suns, you know, first house Plutos, Scorpio risings. You know, there are those very Hades-like people out there, as you know, and there's some that aren't. And we do have to take the hand of Hades and walk into the underworld with him now and dig deep. You know, one of my quotes for Pluto is, you know, face the truth or the truth will destroy you, you know, and he is all around truth and he will reckon us. And that's why I said to my facialist today, you know, lots of people are getting ripped new assholes. And this is coming about in many ways. You know, it could be something as superficial as what happened to me on Monday, where I was just frustrated and reactive and a cranky mole. With all of the things going, or it could be, you know, coming in pretty destructive ways, but either way, things are happening. We are ending something. So many people are going through so much stuff. I mean, the reaction to just my post alone, plus, you know, me and my astrologer friends have been talking and they're getting, you know, just bombarded with so many people going through so much. I mean, it is a big time.
You know, like I said in my post, we've got Pluto stationing, Mercury retrograde, and making the Kazemi, which for me feels like a Mercury flush out. Once he makes that Kazemi, even though he's still retrograde for a little bit longer, you know, something shifts within the energy. And maybe you felt that too on May the 2nd, but you just felt the clarity come in. But then we're building to this Scorpio eclipse. You know, we are in Hades land in Taurus season, and it's deep. You know, it can feel very dense for some people. I think, you know, sometimes it can be the mutable charts that feel this very dense because they're so used to sort of feeling light and flighty. But for other, you know, for other for anyone, you know, realistically, let's just, you know, couple it with the entire collective. I mean, the entire collective psyche is undergoing, oh, I mean, you know, we could go down 8 million rabbit holes, but the shadow flushing that's happening through the collective is massive, and that's why your own stability, mental stability, physical stability, emotional stability needs to be intact on some level. To move through this. And that's what I mean. So for some, it's going to feel dense and heavy and encumbered and limited. It's going to be feeling like, who am I? Like, you know, because we've got, you know, both Saturn and Neptune moving through Pisces for the next couple of years. And whilst, look, they're not conjunct, they're still, you know, we're still looking at two very significant planetary bodies in that sign of illusion and boundlessness and infiniteness and questioning and wanting to merge with, you know, maybe just the divine or devotion, or, you know, there's a real reclamation going on at the same time. And Pluto's sort of shaking it from the underworld. We've got Saturn, who is, you know, who is Daddy Karma, and Neptune, who is a planet of karma. You know, so we've got two karmic planets moving through Pisces, the karmic sign. So we're not getting out of here alive, darlings. Like, the next 2 and a bit years, 3 years, we've got both of these two karmic planets in the karmic 12th sign of the zodiac. This is the end, darlings. This is the end. And I think that this Scorpio eclipse is really triggering that. You know, some of the words that I've sort of felt into is that people are feeling terror, they're feeling fear, you know, death. You know, I've been having conversations around death a lot. People are scared of death and dying, but no one gets out of here alive. And we, you know, we must face the death within our own selves. And this is something that I wrote in my post yesterday, is it feels like I'm building my life on the ashes of my past selves. And here I am blowing these ashes to the wind, blowing these ashes to my ancestors for them to be transmuted, for them to be removed and taken out of the new field that I'm in, the new field that I'm creating, the new life that I'm living. So many people are having physical symptoms, and I've found it so fascinating that for this whole eclipse portal and season, nearly, you know, for near 4 weeks, I've been on this parasite cleanse. So, not that I'm an unconscious eater, but I am a Taurus, motherfuckers. Like, I do love to eat, and I can eat when I'm bored, but I'm not someone who eats because I need to fill a void, or I'm not sitting with emotions. I mean, I welcome everything in. I have Pluto in my first house and an 8th house stellium. I'm not someone that runs away from myself. But eating is just like a habit or a hobby, you know. I don't know. Maybe it's a hobby, like sex. But what I've noticed is, like, I'm not hungry, you know, I'm not actually hungry. And but then when I'm sitting there and I'm just even just sitting in the moment, it's just like, oh, it would be easy to go and get like a packet of biscuits right now, you know, and just sort of nibble on a biscuit while I'm doing this or doing that. And it's like, yeah, look at the distraction. And, you know, even within this few weeks of doing this, again, there's that element of, you know, there's this element of not wanting to distract, to be in whatever is there. And I don't know, it's my body's healing, and I'm softening into this new space. And of course, when you're going through something like this, like if parasites die, like there was one day I felt like I was dying. And apparently that can be what you feel like when parasites die. Like, my whole body ached all night. I actually thought I had to go to hospital. Like, it was really scary. You know, I'm having, like I said, I've got Pluto
moving towards my south node. I've got my nodal return. You know, Pluto's still in, you know, opposition to my moon. Like, there's a lot of, we're all having some pretty big transits. Well, not everyone, but, you know, well, I am. And so there's just this death going on inside of me, the death of the old. And that's where I'm rebuilding on the ashes and rising from that. And this is Pluto. This is a 7 year. We're in this personal set, I mean, this collective 7 year, darlings. And this is what it's all about. What needs to be let go of? What needs to be burnt to the ground? What karmic loops are you still buying into? What karmic habits? What normal habits? What daily habits? What rituals, routines, stories, words, all anything that you can think of that's old, that's tired, that you're sick of it yourself. This is Scorpio is bringing up the drama, the hooks, right? It's bringing up, what else have I written here? It's trying, you know, the Pluto retrograde will flush out the fears, flush out those karmic hooks so that you can recognize them, but you must face them. That's the biggest thing. We're not getting rid of something that we're not aware of. I mean, yes, that can happen, but really it usually will come back. But ultimately what we're doing is we are becoming aware of these hooks or becoming aware of these patterns, these habits, these. And that's the karmic pull here with Saturn and Neptune in Pisces, this very big full moon lunar eclipse. Of course, every lunar eclipse is a full moon eclipse, and every solar eclipse is a new moon. So solar is new moon, the beginning. Lunar is full moon endings. So this is the endings of all endings. And you know, here in Brisbane, when I pull up the chart for the 6th. So ultimately the actual lunar eclipse is the 6th of May here in Brisbane at 3:34 a.m. So it's going to be happening when we're asleep. So we're going to feel the remnants of the 5th. So Friday the 5th we'll be feeling it, and all through May the 6th as well. Interesting, because I'm away for my birthday weekend, which will be fascinating. And yeah, you want to pay attention to those 2 days. But when I bring up the chart for here in Brisbane, guess where that full moon lunar eclipse is, my honeys? It is in the 8th house. So, you know, this is where Scorpio resides. Scorpio energy, the sign of Scorpio, that is 8th house, darling, and darlings. And this is an 8th house full moon lunar eclipse. I call Scorpio moons Hades moons or the death moons. Because it's the end. And this one is not only the end, but it's the end of an 18-month cycle. And that's what I think everyone's really feeling. Like, the energy's heightened. Everything's very available. Like, for me personally, I am feeling so raw, so open, so exposed, but in a really great way. Even when I was a cranky mole on Monday and frustrated to the fucking high heavens, there was just this real raw vulnerability of just awareness. Yes, I'm in it. I'm taking responsibility for it. Like, I wasn't just being an absolute asshole. I was, but I wasn't. I was aware of it. I was like, this is what I'm in. I'm being triggered. You know, this is all happening for me to slow down. I'm going to close my computer. Like, it's all good. It's all good, you know, but I knew it. And the awareness of being so exposed and just falling into the matrix, I don't know, there's something really magic there. And I'm feeling this exposure. I'm feeling it really potently. But and you know, for me, this eclipse actually is like the opposite midpoint of my Mars and Sun Chiron. So it's a really interesting midpoint for me between some big stuff. It's actually also exactly for me conjunct my Lilith. And in the sky for all of us, it's actually square Black Moon Lilith. So I am going through my Lilith square as well as my nodal square with a full moon eclipse happening on my Lilith. I mean, you know, I'm going to be very mindful in my birthday weekend away, and I'm going to use it in the bedroom and not anywhere else, let's be honest, because it could be very sexy, but it could also be very destructive. So I'm very aware of that. I'm very aware of my own chart. But collectively, we have this lunar eclipse, 6th of May, 3:34 a.m. happening in the 8th house here in Brisbane. You know, square Black Moon Lilith, opposite Uranus, trine Mars. Mars and Pluto both rule this lunar eclipse. So what we're feeling is quite visceral. Again, a lot of physical symptoms. I've been hearing a lot of people say that they're having a lot of physical symptoms. And I know that all the Schumann resonance, and I know that there's been flares and things like that. Like, there's been a lot of stuff going on, heightened. So it all makes sense, you know, it just all makes sense. But this is a big full moon because this eclipse is closing out this Taurus and Scorpio love and death nodal portal that, of course, if you've been here with me for a long time, you've heard me talk a lot about it because it's been a very big one. Like, it has taken no prisoners, let's be honest. It has taken not one prisoner, like, or it's taken prisoners, one or the other. Like, what am I trying to say? You know, it's taken prisoners with it. I mean, so much has died over the past 18 months. And excuse me, I'm just going to have a little drinky. I'm just sitting here with this hot cacao and I just want to satisfy all those ASMRs out there. If you can hear that swallow, it's nice and thick and delicious. Yes. Okay. So where am I? So This love and death nodal portal, right? We're closing out 18 months. We will not have another Scorpio eclipse for nearly 10 years, okay? And this will be different, but same, but different. Like, these are cycles. You know, the eclipses are cyclic. Every 9 years, they come around to the same signs, but opposite. So at the moment, we have the North Node, our direction, and where we need to move to, and that what we need to... what we want to devour, you know, we want to devour and ingest and embody the North Node. But that can be, you know, that for some people can be difficult or they can find that challenging. And for us here, collectively, it's Taurus. So we're trying to get back to basics, prioritize, you know, anchor in, you know, this is simple stuff. Taurus is a simple folk. Let me give you the hot friggin' tip. We are simple. But in 9 years, the North Node will be in Scorpio. So we're going to have this real energy of the magic, you know, the transformational magic come through. So where the collective moves towards the North Node. So all of a sudden, we're going to have Scorpio eclipses again, but the North Node is going to be there. So you know, we're talking something quite magical here, okay? I love the North and South Node, you know, axis here, but if you've got a Scorpio North Node, that is super special. I love a Scorpio North Node. I think Scorpio as a South Node can be a little bit trickier to move through, as we've all just experienced. You know, it's there's a lot of holding on. There's a lot of death and a lot of facing ourselves, you know, on deep stuff, because the magic already lies there. And it's actually about grounding into the simplicity, which is what Taurus represents as the North Node. Whereas it's when the opposite, it's a little bit different. You know, you've got to move from being maybe too materialistic or too simple, or, you know, needing security, to trusting in the divine, to being the magic that you are, to, you know, again, working with Pluto. So in 9 years, Pluto's well into his Aquarius journey, and it's going to be a very interesting time. But for now, we are closing out a very big 18-month cycle. That's why it might feel bigger than usual, because it's the final eclipse in Scorpio. So although the nodes shift in July, darlings, we still have one more Taurus lunar eclipse happening in October, and that will completely close it out. Then in 2024, sorry, I'm already writing my 2024 kit, and just to confuse myself, I've started writing stuff for 2025. Like, why? It's because I can't even tell you how fucking excited I am for 2024 and 2025. Like, my kits that are coming, I've written some stuff. Oh my God, there's just some incredible things that I can't wait to share with you all. So yes, I now forget what year I'm actually in. So 2024, then our eclipse seasons will purely be Aries and Libra, Aries and Libra, that's it. And then 2025, we go back to some... the mixed ones again, from my memory, I'm pretty sure. I was like, wow, we're only actually getting 1 year of Aries, Libra, Aries, Libra. Whereas this eclipse cycle, not only has it been 18 months, but it sort of started even before that when we had that first intro Taurus lunar eclipse back a couple of years ago. So very fascinating. Like, must have been, what was it, 2020 and then 2021, 22. Yeah, maybe it was 2020. Again, please don't quote me with the years. I'm living in the future right now. So That is, you know, that is why this is feeling very big too, because we're really closing off with this south. This is the last eclipse with the south node in Scorpio as a Scorpio eclipse for nearly 10 years. So it's a big time. And we're looking at what's actually, you know, what you've been traversing the last couple of years and how you've handled that, how you've navigated that. Are you holding on? You know, this is the biggest thing, is the holding on that the Scorpio and Taurus and Leo and Aquarius axis likes to do. This not letting go. And I think that maybe that's why there's some big things happening, because people are still trying to hold on to things that it's like, is what you're trying to save worth trying to save? Is it worth saving? You know, you've got to ask yourself that. Is it worth saving? Some things are, absolutely, and I'm all for that. You know, but some things have done their dash. And I remember the Leo King many years ago, I think before 2020. I mean, as astrologers, like I've said, you know, I'm frothing this entire decade as an astrologer, because it's just incredible what we are going through in this decade with the astrology. But I remember the Leo King sort of sharing something around, you know, if you get a big TV, a big screen TV, and just smash it to smithereens, but then you're still there trying to put that TV together. It's like it's done. And that's sort of what this energy has been like since 2020. People are still trying to put that fucking TV together, and it's like it is done. And whatever that TV represents in your life, trying to do it, but if it's smashed, if there is too much damage, what are you saving, you know? And that's only for you to ask. And that's why Pluto retrograde, this Scorpio lunar eclipse, is bringing up so much for so many people, is because, yeah, there is terror and fear having to move through unknown terrain, you know? And I get that. Like, of course, like it is scary taking a new step on a new path, or letting go of something that's been so comfortable for so long. That to get rid of that story means you've got to stop identifying with it. And that's a hard one, because people want to keep talking about things, bringing up the story. This is a part of who I am, and I'm not dismissing or being irreverent towards any of those things that you've been through. But when it is destructive, and when it is keeping you stuck, and when it becomes maybe a selling point, because everyone seems to want to harp on about their past to sell a 10K fucking program, which again is disgusting. But you know, it's like, come on, you know, this is old now. Like, and these old sales techniques, that's gross. But then your old, you know, your own old sales techniques, you know, that's what I want to talk to here, is like, what are you still selling yourself, darling? You know, what are you still trying to sell yourself? Oh, no, but this happened, and I need to keep telling the story. And life is so hard, and life is this. And, you know, it's, you know, I'm just like, we're all gonna die. You know, I know that sound might, I might sound like a fucking asshole, and I'm really sorry if I do, but I'm just a very realistic person. Life is short, and every single day that we have, like, you know, the moments of awe that you can fill your entire being with will change you. And if you're still holding on to stuff, and that's what this last bit of the Scorpio South Node is really asking you, is to face that. And I, like I said, that's why I think this has been a quite a difficult one for a lot of people, because getting to the bottom of the barrel of your own barrel, you know, you don't usually want to go down there, but all you need to do is put a candle on. You know, see the gunk for what it is, do some shadow walking, and start some healing. You know, I think that the rest of May after this, you know, we're not out of eclipse season until the 20th, when we have the new moon in Taurus. But you know, there's a lot of healing and recovering that can come from all of this if you anchor into that Taurus archetype and simplify things, and stop overcomplicating everything, stop dramatizing everything, stop flying off the handle, being reactive. I mean, they're all things on you. You know, it's not because of anything outside of yourself. And as much as you want to say that it is, your reaction is what fuels you to react. And when you can step back from a situation and not attach the story to it, then it doesn't become a problem. And some things, yes, can fuck you off. Like I said, like that was me on Monday. Like I own that. And I stewed in that. And I did that for a few hours. And I get that. But at the same time, like the acknowledgement there and the not projecting and being in control, I suppose is a good way to put it, is being mentally in control of what's going on, can be a whole new level of piercing through another layer, you know, like it can be, especially when you know what's going on in your own astrological chart. Like for me, it was just written in black and white. Hello, idiot. Mercury's on your Mars. Stop being a dipshit. You know, like it was so simple. And I'm just like, oh my God, but I don't, now my computer's dead. La, 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 la. You know, it was actually quite comical, but I just knew, I'm like, oh my God, when this Mercury Kazemi comes, and I just sort of, and again, it was just like, just surrender to this, just surrender. Right. So this is, you know, this is bringing up a lot of shadow stuff, a lot of things to purge, you know, an eighth house lunar eclipse on the sixth. Come on. I mean, you can't get any more witchy. You can't get any more, you can't get any more Scorpio than this, right? Like, come on. I mean, yes, we can in Scorpio season, but come on. Like, this is a big time. Yeah, it's big. So I just wanted to share all of those things in the build up because this is a big part of the story. It's easy for me to go, this is the astrology, these are their aspects, this is what could come up. But sharing around the dissension and the shadow work and facing yourself and the, this is a part of Pluto. This is a part of Scorpio. This is a part of the work. And this is a part of what has really been rearing the dragon head. You know, in eclipse season, we're looking at sky serpents, you know, we're looking at, you know, the Leviathan, you know, Lilith being in Leo, triggering, you know, being triggered by these eclipses, right? And it's, well, especially this one, because the full moon eclipse actually squares Lilith. So again, like what's going to come out of you? What are you holding in? What's being suppressed? Where are you not sovereign to your own self, or where are you prisoner to your own stories or your own suffering? Yeah. And what needs to be cut with the sword of truth, with not only Mars, but Pluto too, like the cutting with the sword of truth. I mean, interestingly, the word sword itself says word in it, right? So it's like words, as we know, are magic, spells, spell crafting, the words we speak, abracadabra. This is what we are creating with our words. None of that is by chance. You know, magicians weren't, that is actually, you know, the craft of spelling, you know, when we're talking about spelling. So it's like, what are the words you're saying? What is the sword of truth that needs to come and cut the lies or the deception or the stories or whatever that is for you in your own life underneath this very big karmic sky that we're having right now? Yeah, like simply put. So all of those little nuggets of sharing, I hope, you know, activated something for you or unlocked something, because I'm really passionate about truth, if you can't tell, and your own truth, not my truth, just your own truth. For me, self-sovereignty is the only way I would know how to operate in this world. And it does take courage and bravery, because often you are seen as an outsider, or you're just trying to rebel, or you're this, or you're this, like there's all these things, but that's only because it's easier to do what society expects. It's easier to do what you're told. And again, I'm not talking about just being a rebellious asshole with a chip on your shoulder. I mean, they're two very different facets here. Sovereignty often isn't angry. Can it be sometimes? Look, sometimes, but sovereignty, just like a healed Lilith, she knows better. So when you are self-sovereign, often it's not coming with a chip on your shoulder and you're angry at the world. You know better, right? So you can tell the difference between someone who's authentically sovereign or someone who's just rebellious for the sake of being rebellious to trigger other people, you know, people that want to be controversial and I'm going to say this and see what happens and I want to fight on the internet and let's say something that'll trigger all these people so that I can have it out. Like, You know, you're often not going to see a Taurus stellium do that. You know, we don't need to be controversial. You know, often when your inner resources are so strong, you don't need to go and seek that sort of approval. And that is exactly what this Taurus North node is happening. Now, the reason I'm speaking so passionately into this is because the nodes in the sky are about finished their journey. You know, it's only two more months and then they move. So this is where it gets intense, darlings. I'm not going to lie. Like when the nodes shift into a new sign, it's intense for a bit and then they settle in. It's just like when you move into a house. You move into a house or you buy a pair of new shoes. Look, it's a bit intense for a while. There's a bit of uncomfortability. You're sort of eating off the floor. You can't find anything. Your shoes are, you know, giving you blisters, and then you wear them in. But then at the end, when things have to go or be purged or released or some or a new shift comes in, something big is revealed. And as the eclipses conceal things, Pluto retrograde will reveal things. Yeah. So we're having this sort of this dance between what are you hiding from yourself or from others, but what is actually going to be illuminated will be quite exquisite or quite damaging or destructive. I don't know. I don't know everyone's lives, but I'm just saying that the concealing and the revealing is a big thing. So as the nodes move out of this, we're seeing a lot more loud, controversial, attacking, debating, you know, we're seeing people for who they truly are. And that's what's interesting, especially in the spiritual community, because again, there's this toxicity, the sludge that can come with the magic of Scorpio, because of course there's the polarity there, you know, and then that invitation to just simplify and to stop the processing and the overcomplification, moving, you know, sitting under a tree and just receiving her wisdom or watching a sunset or a sunrise, that is simple. And that is where the enlightenment is. And that is where the magic is. So we're seeing the real, you know, paradox of one or the other at the moment. You know, well, I am, maybe you are too, or you're feeling it within you. You know, maybe it's an inner battle, you know, maybe it's something internal. Again, remember, Pluto in the sky is making this square to the nodes. Okay, so we are going through treacherous terrain for the next couple of months before the nodes shift. Because even when the nodes shift, there's still Pluto squaring the nodes because he's going to be in Capricorn and the nodes are going to be in Libra and Aries. So again, there's still a square. The Pluto square is actually there for, you know, quite a few more months. Okay. So, I mean, look, it's a big week coming up, loves. You know, I'm recording this on what, the 3rd? So to take you through to the 10th, which is the day after my birthday, just saying I'm May the 9th. so it is my birthday week coming up. I've done all the pampering things this week, from my facial today with my beautiful friend Nat at Kinda Life. She's been my friend for years. I've been having facials for years. I had my hair done. I'm getting my eyebrows done. I'm going away for the weekend. Then I'm going out for dinner on Sunday. And then my birthday's Tuesday. And then I'm going back out with my beautiful astro bestie next Friday, and we're doing wineries and spa dates, and then it's Mother's Day, and you know, this is the life of a Luxie Venus woman, darlings. You know, one day, it's not that it's not enough, darlings, but I mean, we have a birthday once a year. So, you know, for my 40th, I had a birthday month, and I'm only 42, but I'm having a birthday 2 weeks. But from now until then, you know, once the lunar eclipse pops on Saturday, you know, that might bring relief for you. You could sort of decompress a little bit and go into a recovery phase, yeah? But it might be really amplified for some people, and others might, you know, find they have a very treacherous weekend. I'm not sure, wherever it's happening in your own chart. But on the 8th, so 2 days after, we have Venus moving into Cancer. So this is going to really soften everything and soothe everything and come back to nurturing, you know, because it's Mars is getting towards the end of this Cancer journey that he's been on for a couple of months. So, you know, the dynamic and the feel, we're going to have a real change of weather when Mars shifts signs. And just remember, May is a huge month because we've got Mercury retrograde in Taurus, then Mercury direct. Obviously, this eclipse, we've got Venus changing into Cancer on the 8th. We've got Mars moving into Leo later in the month. You know, like there's a lot of shifts going on. Yeah. A lot of daily sort of, you know, what we're going to feel in just our normal weather, in our normal everyday energy, yeah. So also on the 9th, which happens to be my birthday, we've got that you know, once a year Sun Uranus conjunction, which can be really inventive and original and some new things streaming in for you, or it can be destabilizing, or you could feel like very stubborn, or you know, want your own way. And I mean, look, it's happening on my birthday, so I give you permission right now to fuck shit up. Like, if you want something, you go out and ask for it. Like, that is what, you know, Uranus and the Sun coming together is a very strong-willed, independent, won't back down sort of person. You know, they want it their way. They're not very good at listening to other people, but we get that one day a year, unless you're born with it. My dad was born with it. And let me tell you, you know, like you do not, he will rebel for the sake of rebelling. And I mean, and that's a Sun Uranus thing. So watch yourself on the 9th, but also I give you permission to ask for what you want as well. Yeah. Just because that's my birthday wish for you. That is my birthday gift to all of you, is on the 9th. Think of me when you are like anchoring into exactly what you want, and you're maybe being stubborn, but watch projecting and watch going, oh, do I want this for this reason? Or do I want this for this reason? Like really look at why you're doing it, but also be really open to like some new ideas, and maybe something really inspiring lands for you or really electric. So we do have a really, you know, huge week. You know, the sky is full of psychic friggin', you know, cosmic friggin', you know, quantum time traveling timeline, time hopping, quantum friggin' dynamics. I mean, it's a big time. I'm not gonna, you know, denounce that it's not. I'm gonna announce that it is. And so just to allow and surrender and to channel that Taurian energy, make things simpler, say yes to things that make you happy, find joy, watch the sunset, watch the sunrise, you know, enjoy your cup of tea. You know, really enjoy life, digest life, feel life, integrate life. Now I know that I'm coming to the end of I don't know if I can record over an hour, but I remember last time I couldn't. So I'm going to wrap this up now, and I want to end up with the brand new product that I have, because it's too exciting not to talk about. And that is my The Cosmic Calendar. It is next level incredible, I must say. I only released it less than a week ago, and already it's just got such an incredible response. People are like, I love this. So ultimately it is my own calendar that you get access to with special magical curated dates. It is not an overload of every aspect and every moon phase and everything like that. That is usually too much information. And as you know, I am a stellium in Taurus. So my mantra is where there is complication, ego, simplicity, God. So I want this to be simple, accessible. What happens is you purchase it, you sync it to your calendar, and it syncs automatically to your calendar. I mean, there's still some teething problems. Mostly it's pretty much sorted now, but you know, everything, I've launched something in Mercury retrograde, darlings, you know, just be patient with me, just be patient. But ultimately, I will curate specific dates, not all things that I give in my podcast, not all things that I give out freely. You know, I want to keep some of the magic for the cosmic calendar. And, but not only am I sharing these dates, or, you know, yes, I'll still share that Venus moves into Cancer. Absolutely. But I might add, well, this is the liquid crystal day and what you can do with that. You know, I'm adding liquid crystals. I'm giving little tips and tricks. I'm giving little messages. So you click on when it comes up on your calendar and you'll have like a little message there from me. And so, yeah, there's some general things. Of course, the new and full moons will be in there, but overall, it's not something every day. I think that that's too much. It's practical, but it's magical. And it is just divine. Plus, 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 you get weekly horoscopes. So you also get my weekly horoscopes on a Monday, where again, you just click on the link and it will take you to your weekly horoscopes for the week, which of course you read your rising sign for, lovers, not your sun sign. You want to read your rising sign so you know when I'm talking about, oh, hey, this is activating your creative zone. That's from a rising sign perspective, not from a sun sign perspective. So that is where horoscopes, you know, can, you know, can't, they might seem too general or generic. And yes, even though reading just from your rising sign, it's still like a very, you know, big scope that we're working with, but we're looking at the week going, oh, well, Mars is moving into that person's fifth house. So that's going to happen for you when you read your rising sign. But when you read your sun sign, that's not happening for you in that house or in that zone or in that sector, which is what I speak of. So rising sign, rising sign, rising sign, that is micro. That is actually telling you where a planet or a full or a new moon is activating in your charts, darlings. Whereas sun sign, it's more of a macro. Does it still affect you? Absolutely. Like there is still absolutely a connection to the sun sign that you wanted, because there is this macro energy that's happening, but the micro is where it's at, darlings. You want to know where all this stuff is happening in your chart. So every week you get weekly horoscopes, and then you get a whole month view of the calendar. And if something even comes up within that month, I will add it in. I seen something pretty special the other day, and I just popped that in, and that will sync into your calendar. So ultimately, you will get a good month overview beforehand, but sometimes, you know, I just might want to put a little love note in there for you, darling. So it's a pretty special little thing. It is only $8 a month. Like, seriously, it's $2 a week. Like, I mean, that alone just for horoscopes is worth it, when, especially because, you know, it's me, come on, like, I'm going to bang this shit out for you. And, you know, and the dates that I'm giving you to prepare you for your month ahead, they're not just any normal dates. Like, yes, full and new moon, absolutely, but I'm weaving my liquid crystals into it, the liquid crystal day. And not only that, I'm just weaving in extra stuff. Like, if I've curated it, it might be a specific planet that gets to a specific degree. I might leave you a Chandra symbol or a Sabian symbol. Like, it is magical. If I'm picking it, it means that there's something to it. And that's what I want to share with all of my subscribers. Now, I do want to say, I want to reach 1,000 subscribers. So I'm probably nearly at 150, which is pretty amazing for something that has only just been launched. My recording saying it's red flagging me that it's nearly run out of time, but that's okay. I have hope that you have loved this spilling of the astro tea for this potty, because I have absolutely loved being here today. But to get to 1,000 subscribers, I need your help. So if you want to subscribe and get some secret, you know, become a part of the cauldron, the cosmic cauldron, sign up to my cosmic calendar for $8 a month. You can cancel at any time. There's no lock-ins. You know, once you cancel, you know, you just don't get the next month's content, or whenever you cancel, you just won't probably get the next, you just don't get the next month's content. So, horoscopes, magical dates, they all sync into your calendar. I mean, it's such a cool thing, and I am just frothing what I get to share in this little cosmic cauldron. So please come and join me there. Happy eclipse for Saturday, darlings, for the 6th. If you're, you know, in the northern hemisphere, it'll be the 5th. It's some big, big waves that we're traversing. Remember to plug into the earth, plug into your heart, you know, good sleep, good rest. Listen, stay in alignment with you, and sending you so much love. Thank you for being here. And if you got through this whole podcast, let me know. Like, shoot me out an email or something, because that's cool. Like, you're a legend. And if you sign up to my cosmic calendar, let me know as well. I want to hear all about it. Okay, darling, so much love. Bye.